Let us turn together to read from Gospel of John, chapter 6. I'd like to suggest that we begin with verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea, and entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he said unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore that saw Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me, except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. I'd like to conclude with verse 51.
O Lord, our God, as we have gathered ourselves together, we have a longing and a yearning to receive that bread that cometh down from heaven, the words that will feed our inner man, strengthen us in our walk with thee, and uplift our souls, that we might continue to walk in thy path and thy ways, and that we might serve thee a better way as the days go by. But without thy bread of heaven, we know we are unable to feed. We thank you for the leading of the Holy Spirit and the words that would come forth from thy mouth through the Spirit that would teach us again anew this evening hour. We pray for our brother as he has opened up this word and would meditate upon it, that you would give him utterance that would bring honor and glory and praise to thee and would edify the body of believers that has gathered. We're mindful of our loved ones that gather with us that are not converted yet. They have a desire, they long, they believe, and yet for reasons that only they know why they have not committed their lives unto thee. We pray for them, Father. Help them to make that decision. Help them to forsake the things of this world and to walk in thy paths and in thy ways. Father, we're mindful of many that are unable to gather for various reasons, those that are of old age, those that are perhaps in hospital beds or perhaps just sickness, even those that may just simply be tired, Father. We pray that you'll be with them, comfort them also, and that they too might be edified and strengthened in their faith and their walk with thee. Heavenly Father, we pray for our government. We pray that and thank you for the government we have, that we can come here quietly and worship thee the way that we long and desire to. And so we thank you for this great privilege, with knowing that many places on the face of this earth are unable to gather such as we are. We pray, Father, that your word might go forth wherever it goes, that it might not come back void, but there might be souls still being saved and being baptized in the likeness of Jesus Christ, because they have believed in the Son, believed in this bread that come down from heaven, and believe that the Lord, that God has sent him here to save our souls. Father, we pray that that faith might continue with us, be with us, and strengthen us on a daily basis. And so as we sit for learning this evening, we pray that you'll bless our being together. Strengthen us again, we ask, in our walk with thee and in our faith towards thee. We commit all this into thy care and keeping and ask all these favors in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you.
Several times in this passage that we have read, Jesus testifies of who he is and describes himself as the bread that has come from heaven. Our reading takes place just after Jesus had supplied bread for a multitude by a great miracle, taking 5 barley loaves and 2 fish and dividing them among this vast group of people. And these people that did not have food with them, they were starving. But Jesus is the bread of heaven. He can feed those that are starving, who are spiritually starving. And he can begin a work in you of transformation, a new birth, a faith in God, and a new path, a new life. He's a bread that sustains each and every believer, each and every one that has committed themselves in faith and trust to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and to follow in his ways. He is the bread that sustains us each and every day. And we read here that Jesus will be active, and it is the Father's will that those who would be entrusted to the Lord would be risen up at the last day. He finds us when we were starving, and he feeds us and brings us to life. He sustains us throughout our life and our daily walk with him. And he is the one that's going to complete that work and complete to the end. That's a beautiful picture of how the Lord wants to interact with us. And I appreciate how the simple words of Jesus clear up any misconceptions that might be floating around about where we place emphasis on our walk with the Lord. It's easy and it's exciting, and there's very great need for beginning a walk with the Lord and for following in his way, for turning to the Lord in repentance and embracing his truth. But there is also a need to continue and to persevere, to remain faithful and to remain steadfast, to remain unmovable in the word of the Lord until that blessed end. And God provides us all we need in Jesus Christ our Lord for that journey. And this is the truth that Jesus expressed to the people that had come. It's the truth. Now, as we read the word and as we meditate upon it, we need to consider, does that truth come to bear upon my life and the experience and the journey and the pilgrimage that I live? And it's a comfort. It's a help. It's what we need. It's necessary to know how vital Jesus is. He is our source of life. He is our source of nourishment and our bread from heaven that's given for us. And we read the truths. We can know all the facts. Jesus teaches us how these words can come to bear upon our life. And that is through faith, through belief, through trusting in the Lord and what he has done. Without that, they're mere facts and figures. But when we can say, I agree with what Jesus has said about who he is, what he has done for us, who I am in relationship to him, and how much I need him, and take that to my heart, believe it without a shadow of a doubt, and trust in him, he begins to work. And he begins to take these truths and make them a part of our life and a part of our eternity. Jesus left the crowds, sent them away. The disciples crossed in a ship, and Jesus miraculously crossed with them. And the next day, the people were looking for him after the miracle of dividing the loaves and the fish in their presence. The people were looking, and they looked to all the ships. They did all their figuring, and they said, here's the ships that came from Tiberias. One is missing, the ones that the disciples were looking, went into. Oh, but Jesus didn't go into that ship. And so they were making lots of observations. They were doing all the calculations, trying to figure out, where is Jesus? They're working hard at figuring all this out. And they end up traveling around on boat to Capernaum to seek for Jesus. There's a lot of figuring going on. There's a lot of possibly commotion, trying to figure out, well, what did you see? All these things are happening. There's a lot of labor going on. Not unlike a family on a Wednesday night before church, in the hectic preparation that we have. And their question comes to Jesus, when did you get here? But Jesus doesn't answer their question. Among all the hectic busyness, among all the quick preparations, Jesus has a word that speaks about their hearts. Every word of Jesus begins there. We could read all of the chapter and understand it with great precision. But before we do, Jesus knows our heart. And that will make all the difference as to what the impact of the word that we read will be. I don't know if you take that as something that makes you uncomfortable or something that gives you great comfort. But it is the truth that the Lord knows our hearts. He knows where we fill in the blank when we say, my will is this, or my emotions are trained and are focused and are determined towards this. Where our love is seated, He knows our hearts. For me, it is a great comfort. For me, the song comes to mind, Jesus knows your sorrow. He knows your deepest care. He knows all of these things about us. And He hears even our feeblest prayer when we come to Him, asking Him for wisdom and how to sort out the confusing mess that this deceptive heart can be. And He can. He can bring clarity and light to our hearts. And it's a blessing, and I know that as every brother that opens the Word, whether in church or in our homes or with our co-workers, as we share our testimony of what the Lord has done for us, it's a comfort to know that the Lord knows each and every heart, and that His Word is powerful, His Word is alive, and it's able to meet the needs that you have in your heart, that I have in my heart, that we carry when we bring them to the Lord in prayer. He's willing and to hear what is on our heart and our concern. And He is willing to share with us where we are wrong and to correct us and to try us. Jesus instructs the people, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Apostle Paul speaks of his life of faith as one that strives, as one that is living in demonstration of the faith that he confesses. And oftentimes that takes diligence, takes discipline, takes a yieldedness to the Lord, to carve out time from our schedules to listen to what the Lord is saying, to seek for the meat that endureth to everlasting life, to seek to be in the presence of the Lord, to open His Word, to pray to Him, to get to know Him and understand His ways and His teachings. And so we are encouraged to diligence. We're encouraged to ask and to seek and to knock, these activities of pursuing after the Lord. And yet, Jesus also says, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. There's a sense in which we strive, and zeal is encouraged and is an evidence of a living faith. And yet it's also so true that that zeal and that enthusiasm is not something that merits our favor with God, but the gift of salvation is given freely. And it says, the Son of Man shall give unto you. It says, for Him hath God the Father sealed. When you go to the store and look for an authentic car part, something that is not a fake, or for some food that has some particular qualities that you need certified that it is, whatever, organic or whatever have you, that it has some characteristic, you look for the seal, you look for the authority. There are many breads that are given. There are many things to fill up our stomach, fill up our interests and our intellect. But there's one bread from heaven that has the seal of God, the authority, and the only place that we need to look, and that is to Jesus Christ and to His simple, plain word. He has been sealed. God the Father has sealed Him. He approves of Jesus Christ. He is well pleased with Jesus Christ. And we, as His followers, we receive so much. When we go to the genuine part, when we go to the genuine one, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 of the things that we receive. And we think about these things to recognize the reality that is behind them and what they mean to us. He says, now He which establisheth us with you in Christ. God in heaven establishes those who have committed themselves unto God as a faithful creator in Christ, that they would not be on a shaky foundation, but they would be built on one who is strong and firm. That we would not need to be carried about with every wind of doctrine, but be established in Christ. And it is God who does that. And as we participate with Him, just as the disciples participated in the miracle of the loaves as they distributed it, He works then in us and develops us and develops those strong bonds of love and faith when we trust Him and when we take notice of the reality that He is building us up. He is helping us. And He desires to establish us that we would be strong in Him. It also says that He hath anointed us. The one that has anointed us is God. Those who were anointed in the Old Testament for service as a king were set aside for that role. And there is a sanctifying work that God has to do in our lives. There's also an anointing that Jesus mentions to the church of Laodicea. Anoint your eyes with eye salve. We read of anointing of oil for those that are sick. There is a healing in the anointing that God provides. as like a soothing ointment on injuries, on the things that burn and hurt. May he provide his grace and healing in us. May we receive, just as Jesus said, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, his healing. It says, he has also sealed us. We are also sealed. And hath given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. The Lord has blessed us so richly with the greatest of gifts, the gift of himself, the gift of God's Son, and his life. He is the one and only that we should turn to meet our soul's great need. He's the one that we turn to for sustenance and help in the daily struggles so that we can persevere and that we would see that glorious day when Jesus returns and the dead in Christ shall rise. The people ask him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? This sounds like a really positive question. You know, to do the works of God, this is a very good thing to desire, no? Jesus had already identified where their hearts were going and what they were interested in. And when Jesus didn't start passing out the bread, is it possible that they were asking, well, okay, Jesus, you're not going to do it. Well, how can we do that miracle? If you would ask the Lord this question, what would you mean? To do the works of God, would it be to do a great miracle? To do something of notoriety and attention getting? To do something to fill a fleshly desire, perhaps. Or maybe, as God alone can create something. That's a great power of God. To do the works of God. What is God like? And what does his work mean to you? What does God the Father do? He testifies of his Son, and he honors him. And the Son listens to his Father and obeys him. Now, isn't that a prayer that we can all pray? Lord, what can I do so that I can bear witness to Jesus Christ's resurrection? What can I do to honor my Savior? What can I do to listen to thy voice? And what can I do to obey thy word? Is that what doing the works of God means to you? That is loving his law and seeking for his help to fulfill it. Maybe we can ask that same question, but with that heart, that we could have the heart of God and do the works of God that he desires us to do. Jesus says, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. There's one door and one way and one life. And Jesus continues to bring their attention to come to the Father through him. It may seem like such a distant reality. And yet, it is a work of God to change a life, to transform a heart. And that is what he is calling us to. In order for these individuals to believe, they needed to see something. And so they asked for a sign, asking, well, maybe we can ask it this way. Ask about Moses and the manna that was received in the wilderness. Don't you remember that? Can you maybe do that again? Jesus testifies again of himself and says, my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Again, he's the only way. He's the only truth, the only life. And he is that. And John records these words so that we would be made aware of that, that we would believe that, and in believing that, we might receive life through his name. And they said, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus gives them two simple instructions. He says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. To come and to believe. If someone would ask you to come up here, you would know exactly what to do. You'd get up, walk down the aisle, walk up the steps, and you could come here. Jesus told these people that were right with him to come. Jesus is not in our physical presence. So what does that mean to you to come to the Lord? There are those of you who are far from God. You may be alienated in your minds by wicked works. You may be fearful. You may have hardened your heart. To come means that there would be no more separation. Whatever distances you, for whatever reason that you are straying or turning away, turn around. That means to repent and humble your heart. It implies something, loved ones, about how the Lord desires us to live and to come to him. We know that faith is essential, but Jesus clearly teaches us here that he desires to be close with us. Come. Do not be separate. Do not be straying. Jesus describes to the churches what he does at the door. He knocks, and those who would open to him. He says, I will come into him and I will sup with him. My Father and I will sup with him, he with me. What a loving offer that the Lord of creation would come and share a meal with you and with me. But also, what a privilege to be able to come and sup with him, as our minds would go in hearts, in faith, to the throne room of God. What would he serve in this meal? It would be the bread of life. So often we discuss our meals as breaking of bread. When we draw near to God, and he reminds us that that bread was broken for us, we acknowledge and we see the power of the cross, and what he has done. We worship him, and the love continues to grow that we might draw even closer. Come and believe, that you might never hunger and thirst again. May God bless his word.